Hi, everybody. Welcome to the containment unit. This is Janine Melnitz. What can I do for you?
Put on your bunny slippers. It's slime for the Ghostbusters Containment Unit podcast with your hosts, Matt and Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Ghostbusters Containment Unit podcast. As always, I, Matthew Sanders, am here with my good friend, Thomas Henry. Tom, how are you doing today?
Hello! I am great. I'm doing quite well. How are you?
Good. I hope that people can hear me a little bit more clearly since I got a big boy microphone now. I've had enough harassment about the quality of my microphone, and so I splurged a little bit.
To be fair, I have been pressuring you to get a microphone for the last 8 or 9 weeks. So I'm glad that you finally succumbed to peer pressure.
That's it. So I'm here and I'm ready to go. And we got a great episode ahead of us. But before we get there, I want to remind everyone that yes, we are still part of the YHS umbrella. Actually, Tom, I saw the YHS crew the other night for dinner. We went all out at Moe's Southwest Grill at Universal City Walk. It was quite the experience. It was crazy. It was real crazy.
I think my invite got lost in the mail with my Space Danger.
I wasn't going to bring up Space Danger, but I am glad to have one of the special anniversary editions of Space Danger. If you don't know what we're talking about, make sure you join the Yes Have Some group therapy. But on top of that, make sure you join our group, the Ghostbusters Containment Unit on Facebook. We've got a page, we've got a group, we've got an Instagram account. There's a lot of good things, a lot of fun conversations and people sharing their collection and everything that they have stored inside their containment unit. And it wouldn't be right without you. So make sure you join ASAP. Well, Tom, today is an exciting episode of the Yes Have Some, nope, not Yes Have Some, but the Ghostbuster Containment Unit podcast, because we are introducing our new admin and friend of the group, Christopher Hampton. Chris Hampton, how are you, my friend?
Hey, man. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, if you guys don't know Hampton, he is what I would like to refer to as a Blues Brothers fan, enthusiast, and collector. Is that fair?
I mean, that's definitely one aspect. That is an important aspect to myself. I collect a lot of things. I'm not pinpointed really to that, just one area. You know, I've got Star Wars, I've got Batman, I've got Ghostbusters, Disney, Blues Brothers, everything. I'm equal opportunity pretty much.
Well, tell us a little bit. Tell us about your collection. How did you get started? How did it get into autographs? And it sounds like you collect a little bit of everything, but I know you've got some focuses. So share that with everybody so we get to know you a little bit.
Yeah. So I've been collecting since I was 12, basically, and I'm almost 36 now. So I've been collecting autographs for a very long time. More recently on the buying and selling things side of it. But yeah, I collect, I'm not tooting my own horn. I have a 5-bedroom house, and each bedroom has its own theme. So we've got Harry Potter, we got a Disney, we got a scary movie room, we've got a Star Wars room, a Batman room, and then downstairs is where I keep Ghostbusters and Indiana Jones and Muppets and Back to the Future, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Blues Brothers, as you said. So I've got a wide variety, but they're all kind of focused. I mean, they all have a point.
But do you have a Ghostbusters themed bathroom?
I do, just like Mr. Matt. I have a Ghostbusters themed bathroom.
How is this a thing?
Even with 5 bedrooms, I just ran out of space. And I don't like cross theming. I'm not going to cross theme something. I could have put it into the scary movie room as like a horror-esque comedy, and I do have some horror comedy type films in that room, but I figured Ghostbusters deserved its own area, and what better than the bathroom, I guess. I don't know.
It's like Egon said, don't cross the themes.
Don't cross the themes. Exactly.
You stole my joke.
Did I steal your joke?
You stole my joke. I was going to say, though, you're so concerned with crossing the themes, but if you're in the Ghostbusters themed bathroom, you can cross the streams.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a one person bathroom. So I don't cross streams with anybody, especially not right now.
In my life, no bathroom's a one person bathroom. All right.
Oh man.
Well, Hampton, welcome to the conversation. Welcome to the chaos. Welcome to the fun that is the containment unit. And so, gentlemen, I thought the first thing I'd like to discuss this week is Dan Aykroyd. He is someone we all love, someone we all appreciate deeply. He is the one who Ghostbusters was his brainchild. And I know that he is also pretty available. A lot of people have been able to meet him and interact with him. And so I was just curious, have you guys ever met Dan? Do you have any Dan Aykroyd stories? I would love to hear them.
I'll go with mine. Yours are probably better. So I'll go with mine so that you can,
right,
you can one-up me. I've met Dan a few times at his bottle signings and at FanFest, and he's always been very nice. There's two that stand out. I took my friend and her daughter, who was 4 years old, and she was a huge Ghostbusters fan, to meet Dan once at a bottle signing. And I wore the flight suit for the kid, right? Because she was like way into Ghostbusters before the 2016 movie. So I wore the outfit for the kid, but Dan sent his people out and pulled us out of line and took us in before the signing started and did a little meet and greet. And he spent a lot of time with little Sophia. He pulled me around the table, and I had built my proton pack, and I wanted him to give me his feedback on it. I said, will you give it your stamp of approval? And he literally did. He signed it, which was really, really cool. It's really relevant.
And you didn't want him to sign it, right?
I did not. No, but now I can't. I redid it last summer. I refinished it. I can't take it off.
Yeah.
It's too meaningful, and it's a perfect signature too. It's a real nice one from him.
Was that your first experience with Dan?
No, that was my third one.
Okay, so my first one.
Third.
My first one was, I can't remember what year it was. I don't want to misquote myself. It was around 2012-ish. It was a bottle signing. And the one thing I will always remember about Dan Aykroyd that I don't know if anybody else thinks about, he has huge hands. And I'll never forget that his hands were like a clump of bananas coming at me. And I felt at home. Like, it was nice. It was a giant, warm hand. But the funny thing that he said to me, I was wearing a shirt with Belushi on it. And it had like his birth date and his death date. And it had like a quote. And it was a picture of him without a shirt on. It was John, like, just leaning, you know, just shirtless. And I'll never forget it. He grabbed my hand and just goes, that's a nice hunky picture of John you got there. And I just started bawling. Like, I would, because I'm a huge Belushi fan, you know, and just to have him reference the shirt, it was just really cool. But I'll never get that out of my head. You got a nice hunky picture of John there. It was so funny. But that was my first time meeting him.
That's a perfect segue to my other Dan Aykroyd story, because
I'm all about segues.
It also involves someone being shirtless, because I was at a bottle signing and I was standing outside in line, and the Crystal Head entourage shows up, and Dan Aykroyd gets out, and he's across the parking lot. I'm going to say 50 yards across. Parked, right? And he's walking toward the store, and as he's walking, he's wearing like a regular button-down shirt. Someone comes up with his Crystal Head button-down shirt, and Dan Aykroyd whips his top off in the middle of the parking lot. And he's there shirtless, and he's putting on his Crystal Head vodka shirt, and in the middle of the parking lot.
He just popped the top. He popped the top. Jump on the Segway bandwagon here. Because that is a perfect segue for my naked parking lot story with Dan Aykroyd is
keep in mind, this is child friendly, Hampton.
Oh, this is 100% child friendly. This is, it's nothing weird. It sounds weird.
Naked in a parking lot. That's a great way to start not sounding weird.
That brings me back.
I had driven over to this bottle signing, and this would be the second time I met him. And I was waiting in line with some friends and mentioned that I might have an outfit in the car, right? That, you know, would be cool for a photo op. I had a black suit, you know, everything ready to go for a Blues Brothers photo. And everyone kept saying, they're like, yeah, you should go put it on. You should go put it on. And I saw a bunch of Ghostbusters, you know, like I saw all the suits. As a matter of fact, I parked next to an Ecto. So I got out of line. I went and asked his handler. I forget the guy's name. I was like, hey, I've got this suit in the car. Do you think Dan would like get a kick out of it? And he was like, yeah, go put it on. So I went over to my car and I started changing clothes. Like, I'm inside my car, you know, I'm driver's seat, you know, just changing some clothes. And everything's going great. And I get to the pants and I take my pants off to switch out to some black suit pants. And I catch a glimpse in my rear view side mirror, and Aykroyd is standing right next to me. And I'm sitting in the front seat of my car with no pants on, half dressed as a Blues Brother guy. And it was one of the most awkward things I've ever experienced, because I don't know if he saw, but I saw him, and that was enough. That was my second Aykroyd. And then it paid off because if anybody goes on my profile, you can look at my old profile pictures. I got a sweet profile picture with Aykroyd doing like the Elwood and Jake pose, you know, from the front cover. It turned out really cool. But that was my naked with Dan parking lot story.
Did Dan see you naked is my question. Like, do you have confirmation?
I don't have confirmation. I would like to think that he did and just gave like a, all right, you know, like, that guy's naked. All right. You know, like, I'm sure he didn't care. Like, even if he saw, he was probably like, I get it. Like, as you said, he's no stranger to popping tops.
He's not.
And I'm just dropping drawers, I guess. popping tops and dropping drawers.
That's right.
On the TCU podcast.
That's the name of the episode right there. Matt, do you have a story?
Now, I think, you know, the only time I've met Dan was at FanFest. So that was a huge thing. I mean, that was like one opportunity. We saw him multiple times throughout the day. And the first time I ever met Dan is on video. That was fun because Tom and I were set up a table because Wizard World invited us over to do something about Ghostbusters autographs. And so Tom and I were going to display autographs and educate people on fake ones. At least that's what we had our game plan in mind. Things went out the window real fast. But first thing in the morning, we're sitting there, we're waiting on the Sony lot, and all of a sudden Dan is starting to walk right by our table. And then he comes up to us and he says, hey, let's commemorate this with a photo. And so he comes up and he asks to take a photo with us, which was interesting and fun in and of itself. But in that meeting, we gave Dan one of our Ghostbusters containment unit buttons. And this was one of the wooden ones. Only the early fans have this button. And he put it on his vest. And so in every photo that you pretty much see of Dan from FanFest, he has got our logo on his vest. And so I know that people love watching looking at the photos of William Atherton and all these guys from FanFest, but I love looking at Dan because every time he is rocking the containment unit in every photo from that day.
And that's pretty awesome. I bet you he still wears it.
I hope so.
Probably.
I hope so.
But unfortunately, all my stories involve fully clothed me and others around. Well, let's move on. Unless there's any other stories that have got to come out here real quick. Because it's time for one of my favorite segments. And Hampton, we're going to let you go first because you're the new guy. And it's time for what we call the mailbag.
The mail's here.
All right. So this is where we talk about what is new in the collection that we received in the mail, whether it was an order, a purchase on eBay, a trade, or a through the mail request that returned that we got since the last time we met. So Hampton, did you get anything fun in the mailbag this past week?
Ooh, okay. So that's a good question. Does it have to be Ghostbusters related?
It does not.
Okay. I would say my most recent TTM came back, and that was John Dykstra. And that's always a fun one. He's very reliable and nice to his fans, which is really cool. I just had a couple trading cards that I wanted him on.
He's kind of a big deal, too, in the special effects world.
He's kind of a
huge deal. Invented his own camera rig and all this other stuff. So if you don't know the name John Dykstra, you have to look him up. Big deal.
Yeah, he's a must-have for any, like, true film collector, really. And it was cool because, obviously, like, you send extra, like, index card or whatever, and he signed the blank for me, which is cool. So I can mat that with something later, which I plan to do. I'm going to hang on to that. That was my most recent freebie. I did just pick up a Wes Craven book, relatively cheap. And
is that an expensive autograph? I don't know.
I mean, if right now, I mean, obviously he's deceased, so he's not signing anymore. Finding him on Nightmare or Scream is, you know, 200 plus, you know, depending on the item. But I was able to find a cheap-ish book. It was like $60. So I just took that and made a cut. I know that's like sometimes it's a no-no for that, but for what I ended up doing with it, it looks pretty cool. Put it with my Nightmare collection. But those would be my, like, two newest pieces. I'm always adding stuff, though. It's hard to just pinpoint, like, oh, I got, like, two new pieces. It's more like, oh, I got 20 new pieces.
Well, good names. Good names. Tom, how about you? Did you get anything in the mailbag this week?
Well, Matt, you do happen to know this answer. So I want to preface this first, because typically something like this I would post in the group. But I haven't, and there's a reason for that, because I didn't know that. Okay, look, I sent this through the mail last year at the end of the year, and I didn't expect to ever see it again at this point. And another discussion.
In fact, I think we've already grieved. You and I grieved the loss of the packages we sent. Did
because we sent signed items, and we sent signed items to a film set, and we had reason to believe that it would be a good address. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen for months. And literally the day before I got them back, another conversation was started in the group about this person. And it was a hypothetical kind of thing. There was something in the works. If you're listening to this, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, but the timing is very short for it. And this came back while that is still kind of up in the air. And so I didn't want to post that and be like, hey guys, look what I got, but your signing isn't happening. You know what I mean? It just seemed like a bad look. But whatever, here it is. Guys, I got Paul Rudd.
Yeah, you did.
On three photos through the mail, including one that was signed by Carrie Coon. So I have that combo completed. And then I have two other images. One of them was him holding the ghost trap from the trailer with the green fog coming out of it, and he wrote Boo on it. And the other one is the promotional still of him holding the trap, so they're similar. And then, of course, the photo with him and Carrie. And honestly said it, I think, that November or December, and I really didn't think I would ever see it again. It was a risk I was willing to take, but it worked out, and it's probably one of my, I mean, I've gotten a lot of good through the mails over the years, but I think this is probably top five easily, right?
Yeah, and like you said, I was fortunate to get back from them as well, and I did not get three items, I got two, but one of it was the combo with Carrie Coon, and then I risked it, I put it in there. You and I didn't do so without having a backup plan if need be, but I think we got to the point where like, it's not coming back.
Yeah.
And I reprinted that photo and it's got no signatures on it because I figured I'm going to have to get Carrie Coon again through the mail because she seems to be a pretty solid signer when you have an address for her.
Well, yeah. And I don't want to come off as like braggy and it's hard though, but like, I think I have Carrie on four photos from Afterlife because she did that play in 2019 and we sent somebody to the play to get our stuff signed and then we got her through the mail. And so between the two of us, I think we had every possible image signed by her. So sending that one with her and Rudd was you don't want to lose something that's signed, but it's not like it was the only Carrie Coon on Afterlife that either of us had.
Right. So that to say the least, I'm stoked. Now here's what's funny is I knew it. I knew it in the bottom of my soul. It was raining in Florida, which is not news. That's not a new thing, but it was pouring all day yesterday. This is when I got it. And so I knew. And usually my mail person, they're very good about walking my envelopes up to my door, but it was raining. And so I knew that wasn't going to happen. And of course they shoved it. And this was in a very rigid mail envelope with a piece of cardboard inside, and they shoved it in my mailbox. And so the photos are slightly bent. I'm flattening them out with books all on top of them, hoping things come undone a little bit. But what I love about...
I told you that the one is beyond repair. Just don't even worry about it. Just send it to me. I'll dispose of it for you because I know that you don't want to look at that creep. I know you're right.
But unfortunately, of the two I have, both of them are made out to me. So,
man, if only there was a way to remove personalization.
Or there was someone who got three of them, and all of them are dedicated.
Hey, the only one that's not dedicated is the combo, and that ain't going anywhere, all right?
Oh, man.
I don't think Hampton would hate owning that one.
I would hate giving it to him.
I would absolutely hate it.
So, you know, if you're listening to this as of today, which is Wednesday, April 21st, you know, I asked about a Paul Rudd signing in the group who would be interested. As of right now, I don't know if it's happening or not. By the time we post this, maybe we'll know. If it doesn't happen now, maybe down the line. But it's tricky scheduling. So we'll see.
I'm not going to say a word because I've been forbidden to even talk about a Paul Rudd signing with you any further.
I'm cutting that part out because you're forbidden from saying his name because you drove me crazy last week. But
So I can't help it that I got excited.
Yeah, but
man crush on Paul Rudd.
Yeah, but you Who acted like it? I had information and like I was withholding it from you. Like I'm gonna tell you as soon as I know you're gonna know.
A little bit. I did feel that way.
But I wasn't.
Tom, you're kind of sneaky sometimes.
Hey, I play things close to the chest sometimes when I have to. And in this case,
I've learned that about you.
In this case,
and I'm just an open book, which is not good either. But I'll tighten up.
You know what this recent mailbag, this is the braggy moment, but the recent mailbag, I've gotten the entire cast of Afterlife through the mail except for Ernie Hudson.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And who's got Logan Kim? Who's got... Oh, I don't have Logan Kim. That's true. Shit. I don't have him or the other girl.
Oh, Celeste. Ooh, I'm Celeste, sorry.
Damn it. I need Celeste and Logan Kim now. Oh, well. But hey, this is good news, though, because it means that, you know, the Afterlife autograph train is a-runnin'. We actually had an autograph. It's a bummer, but it's not going to happen. But I was trying to get a private signing with Finn Wolfhard this summer because he's going to be in town doing a convention, and I was trying to get a private tied to that. But it's not going to happen because he's basically, his time is short and his autographs are basically sold out. So, oh well. But hopefully we can offer some Ghostbusters Afterlife stuff in the fall.
That would be great. That would be great. I enjoy the prospect of the Paul Rudd signing happening, but I don't, not holding my breath right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath either.
No, I am not. I've given up hope, although I could still come up with multiple items on which I would have him sign.
Oh, I want, there's like two shots from that mini puffed character reveal that I really would like. But that's
not to mention your poster.
Yeah, and the poster. And that's the problem with this damn movie is, we talked about it last week, is you start early and, like, we're seeing Bill Murray next week. And that's a great segue. And there's no shots from Afterlife except the poster. So imagine if they dropped the trailer in May and we just saw Bill. It's like, you know what I mean? There's going to be new stuff until the movie's out. So,
see, that's why I'm not stressing about getting Bill on anything Afterlife right now.
Yeah, well... Okay. People didn't stress about getting Carrie Fisher on Force Awakens either.
Right.
But literally outside of the poster, there's nothing I can get him on.
But the poster's beautiful.
I agree.
Yeah, but then that would require starting a poster.
Well, some of us already have posters started, Hampton.
Well, yeah, but I get what Matt's saying.
He should start a poster. That's what I'm saying.
But I actually have a poster that I'm hoping to get Bill on.
Are you taking that?
If we were going to be doing the thing with Rudd, I was debating on Trap, Stay Puft, or just starting a poster. And I was leaning towards just getting him on the poster and then starting fresh. I would hit him with a Mac and Me poster.
See, that would fly. That'd be all right.
I think he would die. Like, I think he would just laugh. I wonder if he's ever signed one.
I think he probably has at a con.
So... Paul Rudd signing may happen, may not happen, but what will happen, Tom, is you will be in Florida next week as we try to meet Bill friggin' Murray. And I know we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
But here's what I would like. This is what I'd like to talk through. So let's just say, and for fun, because let's just say Hampton crashes the party in the parking lot.
Oh, that would be fun.
And we see Bill, and we're within ear distance of Bill. We're within an arm stretch of Bill Murray. What are you saying? What are you doing? Because I have no clue, and I'm stressed.
Let me set the scene for you. If I'm there, I'm pulling up in the Ecto, and I'm blasting Alessi's Saving the Day.
We're not giving you the address then. Because that's a guaranteed, that's going to turn him off 100%.
You know, but I don't know, Tom. I mean, I would imagine blasting Saving the Day is not going to work. But I have a feeling, and maybe I'm wrong, that Bill is getting a little tenderhearted to the Ghostbusters.
I think you're wrong.
Now, see, I feel like whatever happened with him and Harold, and I know that they made up really close to Harold's passing, but I feel like there's some regret there. I feel like there's some nostalgia that he's doing Afterlife, and he seems to be really sweet and tender about it. And I think it's connected to Harold. And so I don't think he's anti, it's not like he's Harrison Ford for so long was anti-Star Wars. I don't think he's opposed to Ghostbusters. I just think he's opposed to signing.
He's not, the thing about Bill Murray is that he likes to be treated like every other guy. He doesn't want to be Bill Murray. He wants to be Bill Murray, but a normal person. He doesn't like that being put on a pedestal kind of thing. So showing up in the car and the suit, you know, if you're just like, hey, Bill, hey, Mr. Murray, will you sign this photo? Like, that's going to go a lot further than, hey, I'm a huge fan. I love Ghostbusters, but like, I don't think that's going to help.
All right, so you're within an arm's reach of Bill Murray. What are you saying, Tom? Help me prepare. What am I going to say? most likely be you because I'm too nervous.
I don't know what I would say. I always struggle with that because he knows what you're there for, and you kind of have to, you know.
But he doesn't hear. He doesn't hear. Because we're just a sponsor.
Right. I don't know if that's better or worse. I don't know. I mean, when I'm on the, like, if I've done stuff on the street, which has been limited, it's like, you know, when we saw Harrison Ford, it was like, oh, Mr. Ford, congratulations on your award. Would you please sign for us? You know, I don't know what you say. Mr. Murray?
Is that what you call him, or do you call him Billy?
No, absolutely not. No, I probably, hey, Mr. Murray, hope the tournament's going well. Would you mind signing a couple autographs for us? I don't know. I mean, and then if he pushes back, then you say, we'll pay.
Or, hey, Bill, we're sponsoring we're helping sponsor the event. Would you mind signing a few things for us?
I think the tournament's a little different because it is to raise money. And I feel like we could say, hey, Mr. Murray, would you sign some things? We'd be happy to give you a donation. I think at a tournament where they're raising money, I think it's a little bit of a easier sell. But I don't. He's just so. Everything you hear about Bill Murray being a wild card, it's all 100% true. Because when I met him, and he was awful to me, somebody else met him at the same event. There's only two people who got his autograph at that event, and the other guys in the groups met him. Perfect scenario. It was before the show. Had a great experience with him. But me, after the show, horrible experience. And I paid more. I paid to go to the VIP thing, and I got treated like dirt. So,
a guy I was talking to in another country saw Bill on that tour out there and got Bill assigned 8 things in the span of a couple days.
Holy crap.
He likes Europe.
Apparently.
Who doesn't?
But you're going selfie first. Right? You're going photo first?
I say that.
Oh.
But when the rubber hits the road, probably going to go.
I don't think I'd do that.
Probably going to go poster.
I would definitely go sign first. Because then while he's signing, you can try to sneak a little pic, you know. But I think definite best idea is hit him with the sponsor. If that doesn't work, hit him with the charity. You know, donating. But I'd definitely go signing over photo op.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on the whole tournament has changed.
I'm at this point, truthfully, I'm not even thinking we're getting that close.
Really?
I would be shocked.
You don't think he would walk through everything?
I'm very depressed about the whole thing, Hampton. I don't think that it's going to go well, but we were pretty torn between losing a lot of money or spending a little more money, and we chose to spend a little more.
But oh, really?
It doesn't sound good. And that's it's all COVID related, but it's just unfortunate. Like, I almost wish they would have just pushed it back again, you know, to the end of the summer or to next year. I get it though. I understand, but we're pot committed. So
here's where I struggle. Maybe they say these things ahead of time, but at the end of the day, it's flipping Florida.
Yep.
And like the restrictions, Hampton, you can tell everyone the restrictions for COVID are loose at best.
And they're a joke.
Yeah. But the Murray brothers are multimillionaires and they're in their 70s.
I think you're underestimating the power of Florida. Like, just Florida man in general.
But they're not from Florida.
It's like,
they're from Chicago.
No. I'm talking about the people that are here, that are around. Like, the people that are going to be at that event, I don't think are going to be paying as much attention to restrictions as you think or are being told.
I don't doubt that, but I think
if that's your concern,
I think the Murray brothers are going to be more concerned about it because they, you know, even if they're vaccinated, there's still risk for them.
Right.
So are they going to want to be mingling with a bunch of people? Like, it's completely bizarre to me that we can go to these indoor parties, but not the outdoor tournament. it doesn't make any sense based on anything the CDC says, which makes me feel like that the Murray brothers aren't even going to be at those parties, which would be a departure from previous years. But I don't know. I mean, there's so many unknowns until we're there. I really don't know what to expect. And I don't, you know, the money went to a good cause, and that's great. And we're happy to support it. But, you know, the pieces that were given to us, we're not getting. You know, our name isn't even on the website or anything. Our name is going to be on a hole that we can't see because we can't go to the tournament. So
watch me sneak out there, Tom. Let me find out what hole that is. I'm getting a picture with us, our logo on us on the hole.
I would say at least do that. Tell them that you need to get a photo of the sign and all that on the hole.
So as always, make sure again that you're following us on Facebook or in the Facebook group, the GB Containment Unit, because the hope is I'm a glass half empty sometimes, but I'm trying to be optimistic about this, and anything that happens, we will make sure you get the play-by-play, maybe some even Facebook Live type videos while Tom and I are on this adventure, because we want to make sure you're on it with us, because it's going to be fun either way. Hopefully we get good pictures of Bill and stuff signed by Bill, but we'll see. We'll keep you all posted. But here's the next question I have, Hampton. Now that we have a third person here, I think you can be a good... Tom and I are divided. This has caused a lot of division in the group. And apparently I'm in the minority here, but I need to hear where you land. Tom is a fan of Ghostbusters 1. He says that is his favorite. I think, is that a fair summation, Tom? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
That's fair.
Whereas I'm a Ghostbusters 2 guy.
Yeah, that's
and it's
fair.
Not and it's not person. It's not that I think it's a better quality movie than the first one, but when I think back of nostalgia and growing up, I look at the suit colors, the equipment, and all. I favor Ghostbusters 2. Hampton, who do you agree with? Do you favor Ghostbusters 1 or do you favor Ghostbusters 2?
I'm sorry, but I got to go with Tom on this one. It's a pretty open and shut case for me. I mean, you hit me with the word nostalgia, but that, like, all I think of putting those two words together, Ghostbusters and nostalgia, I don't know how you couldn't think of the tan suit, the khaki suit.
Nah.
You know,
Winston with a mustache.
Stay Puft Marshmallow
Winston
Man.
With a mustache. Need I say more?
The Ecto in Ghostbusters 2 is so much more fun than in Ghostbusters 1.
I agree.
And we have a dancing toaster.
Okay. The dancing toaster is the Ewok of Ghostbusters.
No, that is what mini puffs are.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No, I think as a film, Ghostbusters 1 is clearly the better story. It's got better character development.
And it's actually original. Like, I'll give you that.
Ghostbusters 2 just feels rushed. Because it was.
But so was the first film. The first film was extremely rushed. They had a very short deadline to put this thing together, edit it, and get it to theaters.
Right, right. I don't know. I think you're looking at two different ways of pressure affecting a film. I think the first one ended up benefiting. Like, the pressure of filming and under money and time constraints definitely benefited the outcome of how that film turned out. The second one, I feel like they were trying too hard to get it out, like, just to follow up that hype, and it just wasn't executed as well. I mean, it's still a good film. Like, I love Ghostbusters 2. It's not like I hate the film, but I feel like compared to the first one, it's just not nearly as good. That bathtub, though,
that's dope.
The pink goo bathtub thing looks like a tongue. Blech. Like, that thing, that gets me every time I see it. I'm like, God,
right.
So creepy.
Plus the Scoleri brothers,
the Scoleri brothers are great. Like, all of the practical effects are great. Like, they're you know, cheesy 80s great and well done for the time. And a hell of a lot better than what it would have been if they did that same film now with CGI. I mean, but compared to the first one, it just falls short. I don't know.
So tonight's interview is a cast member from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, thank you for the segue, Tom.
If there's one saving grace of the film, right, is that you... Okay, here's a question. Here's a question. Not even a statement. Who's the baby's father? Is it ever, like, made clear that it's not Venkman for sure?
It's implied that
I always thought that there was a possibility. Yeah, but is it, though? I mean, am I reading too much into it?
Yes.
I mean, what if afterlife you show up and there's like, hey, I'm Baby Oscar. Venkman's my dad.
I guarantee Baby Oscar's not in afterlife.
That would be really cool if Baby Oscar did show up.
We don't know Mr. Gruberson's first name.
Oh, the stiff?
He's 50.
But he doesn't look like it.
He's a vampire, that's true.
Will's 50?
No, Paul Rudd.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, Mr. Gruberson, the afterlife character.
Gozer's son. So it sounds like the
Gozer's son.
So yeah, this week's interview is with a friend of ours, Will Dutchendorf. You know, he's known for playing Baby Oscar in Ghostbusters 2. We do a signing with Will. We've done one the past 2 years in a row during the summer in support of Survivors of Suicide Loss San Diego, which is a nonprofit out here. So all the money raised goes to them. And it's in memory of his brother Hank, who also portrayed Baby Oscar. He's no longer with us. And Will's a great guy. He loves the fact that people want his autograph. He doesn't necessarily understand it, but he loves it. And hanging out with him is a good time. And he's just the nicest guy. And I think that we'll always hope to work with him. And yeah. And it's been a delight. And we've been able to raise a great amount of money, you know, for this organization. And this year, or sorry, last year we did patches. They had a patch designed for Hank, and we were able to get permission to do another run of those because they had been long sold out. And I think we still have a few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things, you know, we try to do good and we try to give back where we can. And that's a natural one for us.
Yeah. In this interview in particular, what I remember most is just how, well, one, Papa Craig is with us from YHS. But two, is just how seriously he doesn't take himself. And willing to put on the outfit, the Baby Oscar onesie. If we raise a certain amount, hopefully we'll get there one day, and we'll get Will in that onesie. But it was a really fun interview, a great conversation, and like you said, Tom, I really hope for more signings here in the future.
Yeah, Will actually had posted something on Facebook, and I forget what it was. I think he said if he raised X number of pieces that he would take a photo, and I had this great idea for a photo of Will. Like, I even looked at making a adult-sized version of that Winnie the Pooh onesie so that he could take a photo in it with a proton pack on, and then we were going to have him sign that photo, which would have been ridiculous and awesome. But it did.
Or better yet, we 3D scan that and turn that into an action figure.
There you go. Yes, that's
the Ooh, I'm about it.
That's his jumpsuit. He doesn't have the flight suit. He's got the onesie. So
before we throw it to the interview, again, it's a really great one, really fun one. But as always, we want to remind you, listen, there's so much negativity in this world. And that's what Ghostbusters 2 teaches us. There's so much negativity, and we can't let that rule because it does a lot of bad and evil things. So don't be a peck. Love well, treat people with respect, don't be a peck. And with that, enjoy this interview with Will Dutchendorf.
All right, everybody, welcome to this very special interview. Craig from Yes Have Some here, partnering up once again with our really good friends at the Ghostbusters Containment Unit Autograph Group, Matt Sanders, Tom Henry. They're here with me. How are you guys?
I'm doing great.
Cool.
Don't know how Tom is, but I'm doing all right.
Good, good.
I'm all right, Craig.
Good, good, good. You can tell I'm a great host because I directed one question to two people, so just to let everybody choose. And our special guest this afternoon, all the way from California, I'm not sure which part, we're going to get into that. Will Dutchendorf, you know him from Ghostbusters 2, still the greatest Ghostbusters movie in my opinion, and hopefully everybody's looking forward to Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I'm just wanting to make sure that it does not exceed the glory that is Ghostbusters 2. But we'll get into that as well. Will, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I'm in San Diego, so it's a scorching like 85 degrees or something today, so I really can't complain. But for us, it's hot. This is a hot day, so I'm doing the best I can in my AC here.
Yeah, and this is, for those of you listening to this, Will, you're in a, you are a martial arts instructor. You are in some sort of, I'm going to say all the wrong words, so please don't get upset. But it looks like some sort of secret dojo or what? Well, where are you? That's what I'm asking.
You know, since in San Diego, we're not supposed to technically be teaching out of gyms right now. I am going to say it is a secret location, but we're just hiding in the business park out here in Forest Ranch. So luckily it's county and sheriffs really don't care if you're trying to teach martial arts out here. So they're not being too stingy about it.
Very cool. Very
teaching
cool.
Teaching martial arts and pandemics don't mix, man. They don't mix at all. It's really hard to teach people from 6 feet away, but I'm doing my best.
Oh, geez. So you're open over there then?
Yeah, I still have a pretty strong Zoom class going. This is like one of the Zoom rooms. You can see it's like a private lesson room. But yeah, usually I've been trying to stay away from Zoom because I think Zoom's the devil.
I don't disagree.
It's when you're, doing back-to-back four-year-old lessons on Zoom, that kids weren't meant to be on Zoom.
Well, I'll defer to Tom for a second. I know that you guys have met multiple times, and Tom's going to tell us a little bit, I think, about what we're doing here.
Sure. Well, Will, it's good to see you again. Last summer, we had a really great response. You were actually our first private signing that we had announced, and we were really happy to bring you to the fans and get personal items and pre-order photographs, autographs. And so last year you and I had talked about doing it again. And so we wanted to work with you again and get some more of that stuff out there and definitely, help out a good cause. And so here we are and we wanted to chat with you. We didn't have a time to chat last time, but you and I kind of did one-on-one, and we've been doing these interviews lately and just kind of getting things out there on the record. And people seem to enjoy it. So we wanted to have a chat with you, even though, your exposure with Ghostbusters when you were very, very little, you're still a big part of that family. So we're happy to have you here today.
Cool. And I really appreciate it. Last year when you guys did that for Survivors of Suicide Loss, that was a big help to them because it's not an organization that people usually think about supporting, but it does make a huge difference having those support groups for people who lost someone. So I really did appreciate that. So I have no problem doing it again.
How are they doing this year with the virus? Is the annual walk still a scheduled thing, or?
It's a virtual walk, so it's like, so you know how it is these days. Everything's weird and novel. But yeah, they're gonna do. Gosh, I'm horrible. I should know the date, but novel. It's coming up in the next month or two. And the reason I remember is it's like, well, you just basically like start a timer and start walking somewhere and you walk a certain amount of distance and you still have a team and everything. They still have a website that seems like it's like from the 1980s to support people. But yeah, I mean, it's still going pretty good with Zoom support groups. It's actually nice because we've had people from all over the country jump on. So I'll be facilitating a group and we'll get people from, the East Coast, and they're just looking for something. So that has been one nice thing that I hope continues is these online support groups for people who are affected by, losing someone to suicide. Because they really, it's not something you usually want to go outside, to a support group to talk about.
Sure.
Absolutely. And yeah, and you kind of touch on it. Just in a year like this where everybody reacts to the the weird changing world in a different way. So I imagine, you know, this year specifically presents maybe even possibly a tougher than normal recovery from something like that. So really cool that you still work with that organization. And yeah, that was great that these guys were able to partner up with you and raise some money last year and get those autographs out there.
I'm still surprised people want autographs from me at all. So I feel like I'm one of those people where you've got like everybody and you're like, oh, but you know what? I'm missing this one person, you know? So it's like, if I could just get baby Oscar, then I'll have everybody who was ever in the world. I feel like that's the level I'm at.
You know? I'm not going to confirm or deny. You know, it's interesting. Last year, we had a lot of the paintings from the end of Ghostbusters 2 where, you know, they're painted like an old religious painting. We actually just did a signing with the gentleman who painted that. So he didn't actually paint you because the production replaced once they cast you and Hank. But it was kind of interesting because we had a couple of those that you had signed that came in and, you know, people had now the artist sign those. And I expect that the prints that we received are going to come back now, unfortunately, even though I just shipped them all out to have you sign them now. It's just one of those things, Will. It you know, that's our hobby here.
It sounds like a lot of legwork. That's cool that you actually, you know, take care of all of that, because I imagine a lot of people right now get excited thinking, well, at least I can still do something, you know, for this franchise that I love, or this, you know, movie series that I love, like Ghostbusters. So
yeah, and obviously comic conventions and stuff like that is not a thing either, and so for people who are collecting and building their collection, this is a great way that we're able to keep scratching that itch.
Right.
Will, I got to ask you this, because I don't, you know, the last time we talked, it's been a couple years. This has kind of happened since then. Did you know, are you aware that Oscar for the first time is available in action figure form?
I am aware. I got messaged by like everybody in the world on Facebook. So I am aware. I do not own Oscar. I feel sad about that. I wish I did, but you know, I guess I need to get on that. But that's an exciting turn of events. I guess you can really just milk something for all it's worth when you start to have big Oscar action figures. You know,
now, I was disappointed that you do have to buy Vigo. It comes with Vigo. So there's no standalone tiny little. But now Baby Yoda, we could bring back Baby Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Baby Yoda, I mean, come on. I'm not quite as cute as Baby Yoda's baby. But
that would be a fun like video, like some sort of sketch, like you going to various toy companies pitching Baby Oscar as the next big craze that's going to take over America in 2000.
Idea. That would be very entertaining, I think. Video.
So I wanted to ask Will, and I kind of asked you this briefly when we were signing, but you know, obviously, you know, you were very young when Ghostbusters was in production, so the odds of you having any memory of that very slim. But I wanted to ask, how did the movie at all impact you and Hank growing up? Like, was it something that was told around the dinner table at Thanksgiving, or was it any part of your childhood? Because for us growing up, Ghostbusters was a huge part of our childhood.
Right. I think for me, it actually made me somewhat reclusive and not wanting attention, because that was like always the thing. It was like me and Hank would, you know, be in a new class or a new team for sports or something. And then it's like they'd find out that we were in a movie. And it was like always like this big deal. Like, what? You weren't in a movie. And then with that on top of like our uncle being John Denver, you know, so parents were always like, oh wow, your uncle's John Denver. And then it's like, wow, you're in a movie. And it was like me and Hank really weren't extroverted, go out there type people. So all that attention for something like that, I think made me even more closed off to any kind of accomplishment I ever make. So yeah, to this day, I still don't really like I know most people, if you're trying to, let's say, pitch somebody on joining your martial arts school, you might like show them all your accolades and all your awards and achievements. And I'm like the exact opposite of that. I'm like, let's just see what we can do for you or your kid, you know, like, right. I really think that's probably the biggest impact it had on me as a kid, is making me hide even more than I think I already would.
So So, you know, I've seen a few interviews with you, and I know you've been in a couple, you know, Ghostbusters EPKs or documentaries. When did you, you know, come around to it? When did you realize that, that Ghostbusters was, I guess, like a part of you that you embraced?
You know, I think it was like, I can't even remember because it was so long ago, but they had a, some sort of series where they would do interviews, you know, for movie stars. And it was like a Where Are They Now type thing. And they interviewed Hank and I when we were in high school. And it was like, we got like $500 for doing it. You know, it was like, I didn't even think we were, I didn't know that was like a thing to get paid. So as soon as it was like, wow, we're getting paid to do an interview for something we did like 17 years ago, that's when I was like, this must really still be a big deal. You know, like that anyone would actually care at all about Baby Oscar. So yeah, I think that that was probably when it really, you know, occurred to me.
Yeah, that's really cool. I maybe because like, well, let me ask you this. What was your, I'm trying to think. So I can do math, 89. So you're probably born in like 88, 87, something like that. So what was your, did you gravitate to any movie franchises or like, what was your Ghostbusters growing up?
My Ghostbusters was actually an anime called Dragon Ball Z, which shouldn't surprise anybody since I was in
school. Right.
That was what me and Hank were in. First, it was like Power Rangers. And then as soon as they came out with anime in the U.S., it was Dragon Ball Z. So that I was always into fighting type shows. So I think the big difference with Ghostbusters that draws a lot of people is it really is seemingly, other than Egon, a couple of ordinary guys that, you know, you just threw something on their back and I was like, wow, all of a sudden they're a huge deal. And so anyone can relate to that, where you kind of just hope one day you walk in and everyone's looking at you like, oh my God, please help us. There's this horrible monster in the hallway. You know, who wouldn't want to have that kind of a role in people's lives? So mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing about Ghostbusters, at least for some people.
I'm getting a lot of questions right now. The world wants to know, what was your favorite Power Ranger?
I mean, I have to say the Yellow Ranger, because my wife's Chinese. So
Trini. Yeah.
I never really made that connection, you know, as a kid, but yeah, there you go. That's
that's funny. You knew that's funny.
Back when I was a kid, I knew.
You knew. Yeah, I don't really know what to say after that, except for cool.
I think is appropriate.
I think that kind of hits onto something. So like, you obviously were, you were developing some sort of interest in like fighting or martial arts or self-defense very early on. And it's kind of pretty amazing though that you stuck with it. Like, cause I know none of my interests as a 6 or 7 year old panned out. And like, except for the fact that I hang out on the weekends wearing a dumb Ghostbusters flight suit. So, besides that, like, I wasn't able to make any money off of it, is what I'm trying to say. So the fact that you went into it and it's like obviously a huge part of your life, that's amazing.
Well, let's be realistic here. What I do really well isn't too much different than what you do in the Ghostbusters costume. Most of the people I train are kids. In the U.S., that's how it is. So I kind of, you know, laugh thinking of the very beginning of Ghostbusters 2 where they're, you know, Dan Aykroyd, God. Is it Ernie Hudson that's with them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're at the kid's birthday party, you know, and I'm like, that's me. You know, I'm running birthday parties trying to make ends meet with my martial arts school. I'm just like hitting people, you know, but during the day, my day job is teaching little kids, you know, character development type skills. So it's not too far off. It's not exactly the dream I had at 6.
Right, you thought you were going to be like in Dragon Ball Z. By the way, I know nothing about Dragon Ball Z.
All you have to know is have a scream.
There you go.
Remember, they scream.
Matt, I think that's our next business venture, is we should start doing birthday parties.
just hawking autographed 8x10s to children. That's hilarious.
After the new movie, who knows? You know, you might be able to do that. I bet kids will want to have Ghostbusters parties again. There's still kids who are really into it.
Oh, yeah.
There are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm assuming it's all kids who were forced to watch it by their, you know, parents. you know, and then they either stuck to it or they didn't. It's just like me making my daughter watch a show that I liked as a kid, or
right.
playing an old Super Nintendo game. And sometimes. Yeah.
What about with the resurgence of the Karate Kid franchise and like Cobra Kai? Like that, I feel like that show has kind of a younger viewing audience. Do you ever see any kind of crossover to that? Or do you look at something like that and go, this, that is so far from anything how it actually is that I can't even take it?
Okay, there's a couple of episodes of Cobra Kai that's exactly like what it's like to run a martial arts school, okay? I mean, God, what's the actor's name who plays the main character? What is his name?
Ralph Macchio?
Ralph Macchio.
Or the guy who plays Johnny Lawrence.
Johnny Lawrence's character. But he like walks out to his two students in their school, you know, that he got a big check for somehow from his dad. And he's like, don't you guys have any friends? You know, it's like, that's what it feels like sometimes running a martial arts school. You're like, oh, this is great. Especially right now during the pandemic. You're like, where are you guys' friends? You know, like, so that there are some interesting parts that I feel like correlate. But overall, the choreography is just like you'd expect. It's like an 80s rendition, right? So it's super corny, but it's also good at the same time because of that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's good stuff. Good insight. Did you guys have, we went to our Facebook group that has about 1,000 people in it to field fan questions. And I'm not even going to dignify those people that are supposed
to
be. I'm
trying to find one worthy of asking.
I think the one that I had come up with, which I don't know if you've ever addressed this, Will, is that, is it interesting to you, is it flattering or somewhat disappointing that it was canonized that Viggo's last name was Dutchendorf? They made that sometime, I don't know when that happened, I think maybe around the video game, they just made it part of it.
He says his full name. No, I love that. I think that's great because, I don't know if you guys, I've mentioned this story before, the reason they did that was because my dad was such a pain in the ass on set. They did it strictly because he is a micromanager. He is to this day. You know, he will still tell me how to run my own business, you know, and I've been doing this for like 12, 13 years. So I love the fact that they canonized it because, for one, I think he even says it correctly. He says Dutchendorf, I think, in the video game, if I'm remembering right. I don't think he says it like the German version. Not that the German version's wrong. Obviously, that's the more correct way. Dutchendorf is like the right way to pronounce it, but everyone in my family's always said it Dutchendorf. So I think that's really cool. And then it's just nice because usually the name Denver gets so much more publicity when it comes to my family that it's cool to actually have something like that, like an iconic character saying our real last name instead of, you know, that being like the biggest foreign thing. I mean, that's because of me and Hank. So there you go. We made that happen. And my mm-hmm. dad's personality.
Worry about your dad. Like, I think it was last night. It was when you were on the balcony and Sigourney is kind of crawling out, and you know, baby Oscar standing up there, and they were talking about the harness and how below the balcony there was some padding and stuff, and your dad was on a good one to make sure that it was safe. And then when he finally felt comfortable about it, because you're in this harness and stuff, and he said to whoever was telling the story, "Yeah, I think it's safe. I feel good about it." But for a minute there.
Sounds about right. That sounds like him. Until he feels comfortable, you know, he's not going to believe you.
So how did you and Hank get involved in the movie from the get-go?
So my mom was a part of this twin group. And from what I recall, I can't remember who told her about it. She might have just seen it. But it was basically like they were looking for babies. And I'm sure I've mentioned too in other interviews that you can only have a baby on set for a certain amount of time. So they usually use mm-hmm. twins, like in Full House. So they were looking for, I think, blonde hair and blue eyes, which Hank and I obviously don't have. And they actually even brought, I want to say, Sigourney Weaver and Bill Murray around for this. Like they wanted to make sure the baby wasn't going to just cry every time Bill Murray held you, which makes sense. I mean, I could see that happening in some situations. So I think it was like right after they met us, it was like that same day, you know, like 30 minutes later, like they talk about sometimes with doing a really good, you know, interview or whatever with for somebody for trying to get into a movie or trying to get a role. It was like they called my parents right away and said, yeah, they've got the part, which I think is kind of weird. You know, I don't know why you would pick us over what you wanted. It's a mixed bag. Some people are like, oh, you guys were the cutest babies. And other people are like, you know, I could see why you'd be possessed by an evil demon. You know, like the two different, I never get like an okay looking baby. It was either like you're adorable or it was like, there was something wrong with you. You had a giant head. So I don't know what made them decide to pick us, but that's the story. They went around, you know, but as soon as they got to us, that was it. They'd found the babies they wanted. Maybe we were just really easygoing. Maybe we just like sat there and did nothing and they'd like clap and we'd always look. I don't know the qualifications you need.
That's gotta be it. You probably were like, we're just calm. Yeah, that has to be part of it.
Yeah. You can't be like, I'm sure a hyper child running around spinning in a circle, not controllable at all.
I don't blame you. You know, any one of us would definitely cry every time Sigourney Weaver held us.
Yeah, I know every time Bill Murray picks me up, it's not fun. Not fun for me.
So I have a question that occurred to me, Will. I was looking for a specific image, and I found, I'll send it to you. It's pretty cool. It's you sitting on, or it could be you or Hank, sitting on Sigourney's lap, and Ivan Reitman's kind of like Gucci-gooing or whatever. And as I was looking for photos, I started thinking back to like my own life. And have you ever had the moment, and Craig, Matt, where, you know, you bring over a girlfriend or your wife in this case, and your parents are showing the baby photos?
Nope. And, keep going.
No, well, okay, so you have the moment in your life where you're showing the baby photos, and there's always inevitably a bathtub photo or, you know, a swimming pool photo. And I found a disturbing number of photos, Will, of Sigourney and naked baby Oscar. And how does it feel to know that like that particular image is out there?
Well, I've never really thought about it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah.
About pedophiles everywhere. You know, I've got a hard drive of Oscar pictures. I'm gonna have a hard time sleeping tonight.
Oh my gosh.
That has never occurred to me. I don't really know how to answer that that insight you had there. It makes me very uncomfortable. I don't really want to be seen naked now.
Yeah.
So even as a child, I feel like that's weird. I do, since you brought up like bringing over someone to like see your baby pictures and everything, my wife didn't believe when I first met her in high school that I was in a movie. We were dating for like a month and a half, 2 months, and she didn't believe it. Like, you know, who would believe it? So I was meeting her. I'd walk to the high school because she was like hanging out waiting for her friends or something every morning so they could drive her to SAT prep. Again, Chinese. But anyway, so I walked her up to my house one day just to prove like, no, I was really in a movie. Like, that's the only time I can ever remember like being serious, because normally I didn't really like talking about it. But that was like the one time where I was like, no, like, this is going to help me get laid. God, you know, like, I got to prove to this girl that I was in a movie. So that was like my big moment, was like bringing her over and like trying to find the VHS of Ghostbusters 2 back then.
That's so funny. I just imagine you have like a shelf of all copies of Ghostbusters 2 and you're like, it's got to be here. Ah,
yeah,
there it is. So you will not believe, I'm about to blow your mind.
Was she impressed?
She was, and she's always been very into babies. Like, I always think that when she gets older and retires, she's going to be like one of those old ladies that holds babies at hospitals or whatever, you know, like they have somebody who just like volunteers to do that. That's going to be like her gig.
Okay.
So, yeah, dude, as soon as I showed her that, I was in. That was it. I locked that thing down.
That's funny. That is kind of an interesting thing, because like, I know sometimes when you kind of bring up a good point, Tom, kind of. Well, you know, sometimes it is fun to go look at old baby pictures, but I guess, you know, you could always just throw on this very popular, very known movie. It was actually on AMC last night. It's on AMC like three times a week, but I was flipping through and there you were. I think it was you. It had to be. Either you or your brother. Is there any, I don't want to steal somebody's question, but I know somebody had brought it up. I think it was Tom. Is there any way for you or anybody in your family to be able to identify who's who while watching that movie?
My parents say that they can tell. My wife says she can tell too. I mean, I have a bigger forehead than Hank. That's like what everybody says. But it's not like we're sitting next to each other in every scene. So I can't tell. I don't have a clue. And when I'm watching it, like, I screw with my daughter because we've watched it a couple of times. And I'll be like, can you tell who's who? And I'll just always tell her, you know, nope, you're wrong. That's me. Or vice versa. Because I have no idea. But my parents claim that they can tell. I would hope they could, you know. But no, that's pretty much it.
Did they have a perspective on which one of you was a better baby actor? Like, have they told you any stories about your behavior on set?
No, my parents were always very good about not comparing Hank and I. So they always said that we were just both the best baby actors ever, you know, which for some reason just has a negative effect on your self-esteem as an adult and as a teenager.
You know what's funny, though? No matter what, your parents always have a negative effect on your self-esteem. This is what I've found out in life. There's no way to be a good parent, so you just do your best.
Yeah.
Your kids are going to hate you at some point. It's fine.
There's a good Christopher Titus joke where he's like, you love your first kid, can't believe you have him, but you're going to put some dents in him. And that's pretty much all my kids.
That's funny. Good stuff.
So, Matt, you have children. Have you shown Ghostbusters 2 to your kids?
I have not shown Ghostbusters 2 yet. They've seen the first one. My oldest is 12 now. Well, Ghostbusters 2 is my favorite.
Movie? Jeez.
It's my favorite, but the possession thing has always scared them, and Vigo is far more scary than anything. I mean, the villain in the first film is this massive marshmallow. This one is a guy who comes out of paintings and wants to steal babies. I mean...
Okay, the first villain is not a giant marshmallow. It is a
goddess
demon from another realm. I think that is terrifying. Especially considering my twin brother heard voices, I think that's a terrifying enemy. But possession, all right, I can see that for kids. That's not really what you want, you know.
Do you have any, do you know how, you know, we talked about you growing up. Did you and Hank, you think, have the same experience with the film growing up and later in life?
You know, pretty much. Hank wasn't really too keen on it, just like me. He didn't, like, brag about it. Like, the only time I can ever remember him using it was to stop people if we were trying to get people to, like, fill out something, like a lead sheet for martial arts. We'd be, like, standing in front of Ralph's, and he'd be, like, dressed up in something, like a giant police riot gear, just to, like, get people's attention. And he'd be like, hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? That's like the extent to which he would like use it. But other than that, no, he wasn't big on it too much. I always loved the idea of us trying to get into another movie though. Like how they have the new one coming out. I was hoping that I started a Facebook group like years ago that was like, help baby Oscar get into Ghostbusters 3, which never took off ever at all. But Hank would join that. So
I think in every Ghostbusters fan film that's ever been made, Oscar is usually the main character.
Because
it's always the extent of the brainstorming meeting for the script goes, guys, what about this? What if Oscar became a Ghostbuster? And everybody goes, let's do it. Let's go make the fan film. So maybe we got to figure out how to get you in one of those playing, reprising your role. I think that's the goal.
I agree. You know, I will bust out a yellow onesie. I'll do whatever it takes, man. Put me in Ghostbusters 3.
I like that. These Ghostbusters recruit the only remaining, you know, vestige of the original Ghostbusters, and it's Oscar, and he's just still wearing his onesie
plot twist, okay, deeply psychologically traumatized baby Oscar, you know, we could always make that film. It doesn't have to be, you know, a direct sequel or anything like that. I'm down to mix it up a little bit.
Maybe like a spinoff, just like some avant-garde, like, silent film called Oscar.
Yeah, black and white.
Now we're talking. This is fun. Well, before we kind of get close to the end here. Tom, do you want to talk a little bit about the signing and what the containment unit is going to be doing?
Yeah, we're going to be doing pre-orders for photos like we did last time. We'll take send-ins as well. Matt and I have also been, Craig, you're not aware of this, but we've been discussing, you know, something like a custom patch, you know, a custom version of this, maybe using Survivor to Suicide Loss colors and doing that 100% for charity, sell those patches.
We have a patch designed when Hank passed away.
We did.
Yeah, so that would be cool to use that one, because I can't remember if we have the vector image for that or not, but maybe I'll shoot that over to you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Already made. It might be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, because we thought that'd be a good idea, too. You know, now I think that Matt and I, now we've got to figure out how to get you in a flight suit rocking a proton pack so we can have that, you know, that Oscar Ghostbuster image. I think that'd be a big seller, you know. So maybe we got to throw that together too.
That, I'm sure.
And then we'll, you know, depending on what the situation's like in the world, you know, we'll be happy to meet up or send items to you, however you want to do it. We'll make it.
You know what? I'm not afraid of the virus right now. I'm a very healthy 32-year-old man, so I'm not too worried about it. And I stay away from everyone I care about who is immune compromised. So we can meet up and knock it out. Not a big deal.
Perfect.
Cool.
To me, Matt, you have anything to wrap up here?
No, I just want to say that I appreciate so much of what you're doing with the charities, and like Craig was saying, especially in this series of what I do in my line of work, mental health is such an important thing right now, and it's a tough season, and so I love the charity, and we want to support and do that, and we're just thankful that you would humor us collectors and be willing to sign some stuff for us again.
Awesome. Cool. Can't wait.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for spending some time. And everybody, go get your Will Dutchendorf autographs, because you know, Will, you haven't done a whole lot of, you know, special appearances or conventions. So this is kind of your only chance to do something like this.
Exactly.
Unless somebody shows up at the business park that we're not going to talk about.
Find me in the business park in 4S. That's about it.
Cool.
All right. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.
Are you troubled by autograph forgeries online? Do you collect spores, molds, and Ghostbusters memorabilia? Have you or your family been looking for a safe place to go to add to your collection? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Check out the Containment Unit on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at ghostbustersautographs.com.